This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create positive change in the world every day by being a conscious consumer. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, and I started this podcast a few years ago because I wanted a place to talk about the gray areas around sustainability and how being a conscious consumer can be challenging and confusing, but it's totally doable. So join me in the name of reducing waste and living positively in the name of the planet. Together, listeners, I am really excited to bring on two guests to the podcast today to talk about yoga, the sustainability behind it, and specifically the way their company, Manduka, is tackling these problems in general. So today I'm excited to introduce Pamela Levine, the CEO of Manduka, and Christian Register, who is the SVP of product. They're here to, again, enlighten us about what Manduka is up to and really why it's important to think about sustainability when we go to our weekly yoga classes. So welcome to you both. I wonder if you can just do a brief intro of yourself and a little bit about your role at Manduka.
Thank you, Laura. Excited to be here. This is Pamela Levine, CEO. I've been at Manduka a little over a year and excited to share where we're going, where we've been, and what we're up to moving forward.
Hi, I'm joining as well, Christian Register. I am new to Manduka, have a history in apparel, a long history at Patagonia mainly, and that's where I've been most exposed to kind of a lot of the thought through and materials science as far as sustainability is concerned, as well as production methods and techniques to kind of tighten up the ship and do the best we can.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important, especially as consumers are becoming more and more aware of the overall product life cycle, whether we're talking about yoga mats or clothing or, you know, Stanley Cups, as it were. I think people are becoming more and more aware of the fact that, you know, in order to create more sustainable products, not only do we need to think about the, obviously disposal or reuse of products, but we actually need to think about all this before the product's even made. So it'd be really interesting to talk to you about that in a little bit, Christian. But I guess to get us started, Pamela, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about Manduka's history, specifically around yoga and really the mission that you find yourselves on when it comes to the sustainability angle of providing yoga products to people around the world.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because as I listen to you and I've listened to some of your podcasts and just so many interesting takes, I think what I saw as a consistency is that everybody's on this united mission to really pay attention to the material inputs, the manufacturing partners, and then the longevity. And I think for us, you know, yoga is the yoking of mind and body. I'd like to think that as we, our company is also yoked with our community. Our teachers built us. In fact, we were founded in 1997 by a gentleman named Peter Stereos, who's a famous yoga teacher, and he was teaching in Europe. And I'm actually taking a class in Europe at the time, and he had a famous teacher named Shandor who had this accent. He was teaching the Mandukasana pose, which is the frog pose, a very hip opening pose. And when he was teaching that and using the word the Mandukasana, the crowd erupted in laughter. And out of homage to that joy, the frog was born. And The first product was the black mat, made in this proprietary factory in Germany 27 years ago. It's made in the same factory today in this incredibly well-efficient German engineered environment, which we can talk a little bit about. But more importantly, what they noticed is the product got better with time. And it actually just had this incredible durability. And not only had durability, but just softened and really became like your favorite pair of jeans. And what we found over time was that our community, what does our community care about? Our community cares about staying connected, about being mindful. And that means mindful in everything we do, whether it's how we treat ourselves, how we treat our body, and how we treat the planet. So Mandukas had those roots. And I think when we think about creating products that inspire the practice, our job is to support them and our practitioners in what matters to them. And so Mandukas been yoked with the sustainability mission since day one. And as we've moved through the years, as I've seen you talk to many companies, everyone at some point, probably every 3 years, is starting to say, are we doing enough in all ways? And I think that's where we find ourselves today as we've evaluated.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, it's really difficult for a company to receive, like, I would say, excellent marks across the board. There's always going to be give and take, you know, things happening behind the scenes. But what I think is important is that companies in general start to prioritize this and think about it. One thing that was interesting and jumped out to me, both as you just explained it, but also when we're doing a little bit of research on the company, is that it was founded by somebody who was a yoga practitioner. You know, this exactly. is not just a company that was created from somebody who said, you know, a lot of people are doing yoga. I'm just going to go in and start making products. So I think that is important for many people when they think about, you know, where they want to drive their dollars towards and thinking about the founder story. So, so thanks for sharing that with us. So you mentioned we could maybe get into a little bit about the product specifically, like sort of this standard yoga mat. And the reason why I want to like hop into that is because I myself, when I've gone to, and I'm sure everybody who has gone to a yoga class has experienced this too, where when I'll go into a class, sometimes there is like the smell or like off gassing of yoga mats. If somebody has brought their own and it's, you know, made with a bunch of PVC or, you know, made with materials that aren't necessarily good for the environment. And to me, it always was kind of a jarring experience because I've talked about this on previous episodes, but I'm like very smell sensitive. And so for me, I'm over here like, okay, I'm trying to relax. I'm trying to be more mindful and kind of tune out sort of environmental stressors or external things. And then I'm like smelling this plastic. And to me, it just seems so counterintuitive to what the practice of yoga is about. So I'm curious to know about, you know, like thinking about those materials that go into the yoga mat and wondering a little bit more about that supply chain and how you guys are baking the sustainability angle into it. I think it'd be really interesting for people to hear about.
Yeah, I think when you think about yoga mats, there's four major materials, right? There's PVC, there's rubber, and there's different versions of rubber.
Yep.
And then there's TPE and EVA. Like that's kind of the landscape. And when you think about off-gassing, ironically, a lot of the smell that people experience is from rubber. Yeah. So for example, we have a natural rubber mat. And if, first of all, there's different qualities of rubber. There's different places it's harvested. For example, ours is non-Amazon harvested, really taking care in that. But even whether you talk about Ulex or all different types, there's so many different partners, manufacturers. And I think for us, it's taking the care of understanding the rubber and also the smell that comes off of that. When you think about PVC specifically, there's a wide range, again, within PVC, right? Yeah. There's non-certified PVC, there's Ecotech certified, class one standard, safe for babies, highly from a standard coming out of Europe. So I think, again, as with everything with sustainability, it's about the nuance and really understanding. We had a yoga towel, for example, and when people talked about recyclability, you know, is the plastic virgin? Is our, you know, like everyone talks about biodegrading. Is it biodegrading? Like what landfill, what oxidation does it get in the landfill to actually biodegrade? So I think for us, like for me, I just want to say that point well taken and incredibly nuanced, which is why you have this podcast. But so I think for us in the yoga mat world, what we look at to your point is the material input, the manufacturing process and the durability and then the afterlife. And so I think when we think about off-gassing, first thing I say is what material it is, because 9 times out of 10, I've experienced rubber. And then once it goes beyond that, then you experience, okay, the performance of the mat. And then each material has a different performance characteristic.
That makes sense. And the thing that I like that you just mentioned, because again, listeners know I harp on this a lot, is durability as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, I like that that's part of the equation because, you know, for all intents and purposes, unless you're like a really, I suppose, like voracious yoga practitioner, I kind of feel like a yoga mat should last you quite a long time. You know, I don't think we should all be in the market for a bunch of these all the time, but curious to know a little bit about that too. And as you think about the materials that are going into these, you know, how do you measure durability? Like how does that happen from a, you know, development perspective?
Yeah. And I mean, Christian can jump in here too, because we joke, one of the things we say here, everyone says, well, if Manduka mat, one of their mats lasts a lifetime, how do you have repeat purchase? And we joke, that's kind of the point. Like for us, we don't shy away from that. There's a similar philosophy that, you know, even Patagonia was the original that started that philosophy. And Christian, you can jump in here too.
Well, I would just say that with all product development of any sort, it's a balance between performance first, like doing what it's intended to do. Secondly, creating a viable business. So selling it at a price people are willing to buy it at. Mm-hmm. And balancing all that with making it as efficient as possible and with as many sustainable materials and some plan on what the full lifetime is going to look like for that product. Can we recycle it, upcycle it, downcycle it? Does it biodegrade? Or in the case of our ProMat, man, the performance is world renowned on that one. And it is made of the Okotex standard 100 PVC, which is why people love the cushion and the perfect texture that gives just the right amount of grip for people to really have a nice flow on it. It happens to have incredible durability. So it was first performance, and then it comes with this durability that allows us to give a lifetime guarantee. So in that case, you know, it's not biodegradable. We could recycle it in different ways, but even recycling takes a certain amount of energy and inputs that if you can, with any product, once it's made, the longer you can keep it in use, that's really option one. And then with our lifetime guarantee, you know, when the ones we do take back for whatever reason, we find other in-use venues like schools or other communities that need donations of mats. And so that's really the solve in that case. With other mats and materials, and I will say we are working toward recycled contents going into it more and more as we move forward. So that's very exciting. What's cool about a lot of my work in apparel in the past is like, great, now we have recycled textiles. We're getting up to 100% recycled poly content in the yarns, but we're still trying to cut this crazy human body shape out of a long rectangle. And you end up with all this material waste that you then have to figure out how to deal with. So on the apparel side, the question is, okay, next, how do we design into this rectangle to tighten up the amount of waste we have happening there? And with yoga mats, what's nice is the rectangle is the right shape for the practice. So it's naturally using nearly 100% of the material that we're making. So that's just a nice side note with yoga mats.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the questions that we'll get coming out of this podcast from our listeners, because we've had it in a similar fashion before, is PVC. You know, I think it's great that Okotex is certifying PVC because they have very strict standards. But at the same time, like, we know that PVC itself is, you know, is difficult to dispose of. You know, I think it doesn't biodegrade. It does persist in the environment. So when you think about, you know, taking the, you know, but that being said, PVC, listeners, is very prevalent in many products. And there are lots of reasons why, you know, and of course we'll have the Manduka team tell us why they've picked it from a performance perspective, but it's typically very lightweight. It's going to be in like your Crocs, it's going to be in all sorts of things. There are advantages from a manufacturing perspective to use it, but from an environmental perspective, it really is a type of material that is going to persist. So tell us a little bit about like the trade-off that you think about. And of course, and this is not, listeners, before they answer, it's prevalent everywhere. So it is one of those situations where it's a difficult material to get away from.
I would just add that it's renowned for what it is, and that's why it has survived so long,
yeah,
the way it performs.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we aren't highly and actively engaged in different approaches and solutions in the wider range of our line.
And I would just say my only comment, just to answer directly on that question, because to Christian's point, one of the things that the Manduka black mat, for example, the pro mat, we get a 0.1, and I keep track of this, important return rate. That mat is literally guaranteed for life. I've had mine. I was at Manduka 13 years ago. It looks brand new. I'll never have another yoga mat in my life. Unfortunately, when I look at other PVC product, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
And I think when we think about it, we say, okay, material input, manufacturing partner, durability, after cycle. Okay, after life. So I look at it and go, to your point, do we get an A across the board? Do we get a C, B, A? You know, and so when I look at this and say durability, it's an A+. Like there's not much I can say about it.
Yeah.
And the other places, to your point, Laura, are how do we make the whole thing an A+ across the board? We think about after life, Christian and the product team have said, okay, for the few that do need to be recycled, how can they be downcycled into something and used for playgrounds, for example? There's other industries, whether it's a surf industry, we've been coming together with other industries, other partners to come together to see what that looks like. So I think we've been talking to a partner out of Europe. We've talked to, and the problem is we don't want to spend money shipping product around because that's also not effective.
Yeah.
So I think really the good part is the return rate's almost zero to literally the decimal.
Yeah.
And the ones that do, what I say is I don't want to ship that around. Let's get that to schools. We get a lot of donations. We have a partnership with a program where it educates teachers, yoga teachers in education programs, and we give mats to them. So I think for us, it's really important that we think through every element. And one of the things I love that Christian brought, and we had our original head of product was the same way, is let's make sure we are not greenwashing internally, externally. And I think that honesty and transparency is probably the most important.
Oh, absolutely. And I like that you kind of touched on a variety of elements there, but the thing that really stood out to me is thinking about durability. And oftentimes some of the most durable products can be made out of materials that are maybe not the most eco-friendly. And that's a trade-off that we have to have. And that is really, you know, what all I wanted to really get into from that perspective, because you know, there's so many like trade-off conversations that we have in this podcast. And so what's better, creation of 4 or 5 mats in a lifetime that will, you know, eventually fail and you have to go buy new ones, et cetera, or something that's going to last forever in perpetuity, I suppose. And something that can be passed down. So again, listeners, that's why I wanted to really, really get into that, because it makes, to me, that conversation makes sense, even though there's not like a great answer to it, I guess.
Yeah. And if I can add one more thing, Laura, part of the reason that the second piece that you mentioned, Ecotech Certification Standard 100 Class 1, the reason we say that off the tip of our tongues is we're so obsessed about the quality, safety, and sustainability of everything we make. So I think when you think about performing and putting your face next to a mask and I mean, next to a mat. I've been on that mat millions of times, and I feel so safe and comforted knowing that it's of the highest quality, right? That it is safe for babies. Like all of that, those certifications and testing mean so much to us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it, you know, on the longevity piece too, I believe you mentioned this at the very top of the episode, but you do offer a lifetime guarantee on your products. And I it's something worth noting just because I feel like we all grew up with these like funny infomercials that's a like lifetime guarantee and like no one actually takes them up on that. But I would imagine with a company like Manduka and people are getting lots of use out of these products, you probably do have a lot of people taking you up on this. And so tell me a little bit more about that. You know, if somebody contacts you and says, hey, this is no longer working for me. You touched a little bit on this earlier, but what happens to that product? Does it get donated? You know, tell me a little bit more about how the company makes good on that promise.
Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned, first of all, the interesting thing about it is we get very little product that if we do get a return, 9 times out of 10, it goes into stock. It's of quality that hasn't been used. And so when we do get a return, because they don't really come back damaged, right? So product doesn't break down. So in a good way, right? It gets just softer and better and people love it more and more. And not trying to be salesy, it's just the reality of that product. So I think for us, what I really try to make sure is that when we do get down, our operations team, we have a relationship with a partner that really works on making sure that they take care of yoga in schools. So for us, there's a program that we're partnership called Breathe for Change, and they take care of, and it was also called Yoga Ed at the time, and they educate educators in the communities to teach yoga in schools. And so we donate to them as one of our outlets. We also get some other individual schools, but that's our number one place for giving product back. Again, you're talking so little, it's really hard to even quantify. I don't want to say a number, but I will tell you on a scale. So most of the mats that we end up donating are not even in, are mostly in our TPE category or natural rubber, because it's just very few. And it's just, the reality of the performance, as Christian mentioned.
Yeah. And Christian, I would imagine that this speaks to, again, going back to like the material question, like it speaks to the durability of something, you know, of these different, you know, materials stacked up against each other. Right.
Yeah. And when we design something in any industry, I think it's very important to think about what there's. So the problem you're trying to solve and the materials that are going to help you solve that problem, some of them are naturally going to last longer and some are going to break down faster. So with the ones that are going to break down faster, the question is how do we, you know, we're working toward a future where those ones are made of bio inputs and biodegrade. And the ones that you need that need to last longer, those materials are in a closed system and fully recyclable at the end of their life. It's pretty clear like direction. Either you have closed loop within your kind of chemical world, or it's closed loop as part of the bio world. And that's what we're working toward. We actually do have a roadmap to get to that. Every industry is trying to make strides in that direction if they're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
I think we're starting to really see that become a reality. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think listeners, I forgot to give you one of my sort of standard, statistics like I like to do. And, you know, one source that we found is saying that, you know, there's 36 million yoga mats sold worldwide every year. And if you actually laid those out end to end, you could encircle the earth over 1.5 times. So this is a lot. When we talk, the reason why we got so nerdy and like gnarly into the discussion around the materials is that is a lot of raw material. That is a lot of processed material. It's a lot of things going into the environment, or being taken out of the environment in the case of rubber. So this is a really big issue that I think it sounds like Mantuk is doing a lot in their own way to be able to pioneer different types of mats, and really helping us get to a point where people perhaps are, buying less of these. And I guess, Pamela, that's kind of a funny conundrum for a company to be in, right? Which is, you're trying to maybe even sell less to one individual from a longevity perspective. So like, how do you balance that from a sort of corporate pressure type of situation?
Yeah, I mean, and it's an interesting question because look, our job is to inspire the practice of yoga. I don't take that lightly. That's a statement that means that more and more people are practicing yoga every day and meditating. And unless it's very hard to do that on a hardwood floor.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do that on concrete. Your joints need protection. It's just not going to be functional. And you won't be able to do it for long. So you need to sit on something or practice on something. And what our goal is to make the most highest performance, sustainable piece of product for your props, for your mat that we can make. You also need to wear clothes. And so those clothes, how can they be made in the most sustainable way? And part of the benefit, I feel so lucky to have someone like Christian join us who has a long history, is to say in every product that you need, how do we make it the most sustainable way? And that is ultimately our mission, right? And so when Christian joined us, 90 days ago, he's doing a full audit of every product and saying, okay, you guys were really on the cusp then. And now today there's new technology, new innovation, new ways to do it. And as he mentioned, zero waste manufacturing, pre-consumer waste. So we have a new yoga rug coming out that's made of, is knitted together of pre-consumer waste. So,
and by that, she means that it's, as I mentioned before, apparel industry scrap from the production process of apparel. So that's what she means by pre. It's coming out of the factories as scrap, and then we're able to basically upcycle that into this beautiful rug.
Yep. Yeah. And so I think when we think about the corporate, I just say to the team, if we're successful, our job is to invest back in the community. As I mentioned, Breathe for Change. Martha, our head of marketing, and I, we talk about the yoga teachers all the time. They are my love, my first love. They're my inspiration. That's why we do what we do. And if we can invest back in them so that they can keep teaching yoga, so that more people can get on a yoga mat, and then we go and make the most highest quality mat we can. And that highest quality has all kinds of trade-offs, and every single one's being evaluated. And a lot of them are amazing, and a lot of them have, don't have upcycle, right? The pro mats guarantee for life. The other mats, we don't have an upcycle solution today. So what is that? And that's what Christian and the team are looking at. And
And I'd like to add that I think a really important thing for all product people out there to think about is so many products and materials are a combination of many different things to get the attributes you want. And so oftentimes that means it really, kind of harms your ability to recycle it.
Yes.
And so there are ways to upcycle it, downcycle it, which are very important. But as product designers, we need to be thinking about, hey, how do we use more and more mono material to get the same performance? And we aren't going to and make it last a long time. So you have to operate with this faith that you're working for a future where people are going to be returning things that are able to get recycled, even though hopefully you aren't seeing those things needing to be recycled in the next 5 to 10 years, right?
Absolutely.
But it's about still having that longer vision and putting that work in now for things that might be next generation.
I feel like that is the the mission that we as conscious consumers and conscious producers are working towards. And, you know, I think we're still very, very early in the stages of trying to make this impact. And in many cases, it can be difficult to quantify it right now because we're so early on. So, right, there's a little bit of faith involved. Obviously the mindfulness and the, you know, the dedication are really important. Well, I can't believe, I mean, if you would have told me I was going to talk to somebody for about 30 minutes about yoga mats, I probably would have told you you're crazy, but that's just how these podcasts go, right? I mean, there's so many interesting twists and turns that we take. And so I've really enjoyed speaking to you both. So I guess to close things out, you know, I typically ask our guests the same question because I'm really interested to understand the variety of answers. And so that would be, you know, from where you're sitting in your position, both, you know, personally or professionally, what is exciting you about the ethical and sustainable movement going on right now? And I guess let's have Christian go first.
Well, I guess where I nerd out is material science.
So, yeah.
You know, bio inputs are a big buzz right now. I think that's very important and interesting. And how do we do that in a way that's not deforesting or taking food away from being food? How do we use like bio waste from other industries to make polymers? That's all very exciting.
Yeah.
I do think there's very important work to be done immediately in recycling and so much opportunity that's just sitting on the table right now there. So that's where I get excited.
Absolutely.
Beyond that, it's like, yeah, buy one mat that's going to last you. Buy less that lasts longer and invest in quality. I think that's the very easy thing we can all do.
Absolutely.
Invest in quality. Yep.
Totally agree. Pamela, how about you?
I mean, mine's more personal. I've been so inspired by the information that's coming out around food. I mean, I think as I have come back to Manduka and I've even just gotten more connected to the community, and the community tends to really pay attention to what's going in their body as they think about the mind-body connection, I've really dove back in. And wow, I mean, talk about an industry that an average consumer just doesn't really get a lot of information about. I think there's been a lot of great documentaries and such. And so I've been, as Christian would say, nerding out around that and learning what's going in my body and how that can also save our planet in
Absolutely.
Many ways.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it to think about the equation in so many different ways is both exhausting sometimes, but also extremely invigorating. So I love to hear everybody's, you know, thoughts on that, because it is so varied and nuanced and really a very personal journey, as you just said. Well, listeners, I've really enjoyed having, you know, Pamela and Christian on. We'll include links to information about what we chatted about in the show notes. Definitely look for that new yoga mat that they talked about earlier to release soon. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social media. You'll find us on almost everything at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.